Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. It is wonderful to be here tonight. I'm so thankful that we have hope in the Lord. We have something great in our souls. And yes, by faith, we do see the victory ahead. Oh, my. Praise the Lord. We do see victory in Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity. Lord, we thank you that you've made this possible, Lord, that we could broadcast this message, Lord, this service, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for every heart that's connected to this message, oh Lord, to this service, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for what you've done in all of our hearts. I thank you, Lord, that you called us out of the darkness, Lord, that you put a song within our beings, Lord. Oh, God, that you put hope within us. Oh, Lord Jesus, oh, God, we thank you, Lord. Oh, God, that we could dwell on the good things of God, Lord, that we commit all things unto thee, Lord, and know that thou art able to help us, to sustain us, oh, Lord. Oh, God, to give us great strength, to give us victory, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you'd use this message here tonight. I pray, oh God, that you'd meet the needs of your people, Lord. I pray that you'd inspire us, God. Oh God, only you know, oh God, how many moments we have left. Oh God, only you know, but I pray, oh God, that you'd inspire us. And oh God, that you'd help us, Lord. Oh God, to draw nigh unto thee. Oh Lord, to get right with thee, Lord. Oh God, to call upon thee while it is yet day. Oh God, before that night cometh when no man can work. Oh God, I pray that you talk to us, Lord Jesus. I pray, oh God, that you give us strength. I pray, oh God, that you'd reach out to redeem tonight, to save. Oh God, to set free. Oh God, to bring out. Oh Lord Jesus, you know every need, Lord. Let the devil be rebuked, oh God, in all his cohorts. Oh God, let him have no place here. Oh God, I pray, oh God, that your spirit would have free course. Oh Lord, and that you would work in every heart. Oh God, to meet the needs of your people, Lord. Oh God, to inspire your people. Oh God, to put faith within our beings, Lord. Lord, oh God, to use this, oh Lord, for thy name's sake, and oh Lord, for thy children's sake. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name. Have your way, Lord, in Jesus' name, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise our God. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. You know, it is wonderful to pray the Lord, and oh yes, to sing about victory in these times. It is a time of trouble in so many regards. You know, here it is, the middle of April, and we have indeed seen strange things. I know, you know, just many startling things as we look upon what's happening in this world and in this country. You know, so much of it doesn't make sense. But then we have a God who oversees it all, who knows the meaning of this and what is about to come to pass. Oh, he knows the end of our time, and you know when it's going to be over, when time will be no more. We know that we live in a world that, you know, has gone astray in so many ways, and we have so many things that we can see that bring us to know that we are very close to the end. I know I've been startled more than once recently. I know I heard a statement that Bill Gates made, and he's talking about a vaccine that he's predicting or having, thinking is going to be here one of these days. And you know, he said it would not be mandatory. But yet, if you didn't take it, you couldn't leave your home. Well, kind of interesting, hey? And I just was outraged when I heard that. And I just thought, who is this Bill Gates? What gives him that kind of authority? You know, who is this man anyway? And, you know, here we are in this world that we live in today. I know a lot of people are walking around with masks and wearing gloves, and there's a limit to how many people can enter many of the stores. In some cases, cash is being discouraged. And, you know, you just hear all kinds of ridiculous things. I know, Sister Dawn, when, you know, you told me about the governor there in Michigan, this Governor Whitmer, that, you know, she was ordering that the garden centers would be closed. I just thought, oh, no, that's way too much. And, you know, come to hear that she may actually be Biden's running mate come the presidential election. And then you hear of other things like, you know, vegetable farmers who've grown a lot of good stuff and yet there's no market for them, or, you know, the availability is lost due to these circumstances, and therefore they're just tossing out their stuff into a big mulch pile. And yes, even here in Wisconsin, dairy farmers that are dumping out milk because, oh, there's possibly not the market, or otherwise they can't get it to the factories where it could be pasteurized and all the other things that are demanded at this time. And yes, we see things like mass burials in New York City, from what they tell us, where no one claims the body. They just, it seems, if this message is correct, they're just throwing bodies into a mass grave. Things that we never, never thought we would hear, you know, in our lifetime. But yet, you know, I've known since I was a young girl that one day our Lord was going to come and judge this earth. And oh my, I think there is a cry that is going out from our hearts. I read it in Psalms chapter 7, verse 9. It says in verse 9, "Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins." Verse 10 here in Psalm 7 says, "My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart." Praise the Lord. And verse 11 tells us, "God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. He also hath prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordained his arrows against the persecutors. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity, and hath conceived mischief, and brought forth falsehood. He made a pit and digged it, and has fallen into the ditch which he made." Verse 16 tells us, "His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down with upon his own pate. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High." Oh, praise the Lord. You know, in the midst of trouble, we have a mighty God, and he is judging the goings on in this world. He has seen it, and he knows exactly. And yes, it tells us he is angry with the wicked every day. They are not going to get by with their evil devices and all their thinking, all the things that they have imagined in their heart. For as it tells us in that 10th chapter of Psalms, verse 2, "The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined." Oh yes, God judges the hearts. And yes, he has declared, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." And that day is coming upon the face of this earth. Praise the Lord. He tells us in Psalms the 9th chapter. Oh, praise the Lord. Verse 1 in Psalms chapter 9, a Psalm of David. "I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou Most High. When my enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne judging right. Praise the Lord. Our God sees it all, and he's going to judge according to his own righteous judgment. Verse 5 says, thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. Oh, praise the Lord. It's all going to come to an end. Oh, yes, that reputation, that fame, that pride. Oh, yes, that the wicked may seem to have that esteem that some give to them. Oh, yes. Oh, it is going to perish. It is going to be destroyed. Their name is going to be put out forever and ever, according to the Word of God. Verse 6 tells us, O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them. But look at this 7th verse here. It says, but the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble. Praise the Lord. Oh, we can go to the Lord. No matter how troublesome the times may be, we have a refuge in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble. And look at verse 10. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Oh, praise the Lord, our God, who is a very present help in the time of trouble. Oh, yes, our God, who sees it all and knows it all and cares so much for his people. Oh, praise the Lord. Can we trust our God? Oh, there is none like unto him. There is none so faithful and kind. Oh, there is none that loves us with such a love, such a precious love that he gave his life freely for his people. Praise the Lord. And praise the Lord if we know his name. Oh, that name that was revealed when he came to this earth. Oh, yes. Oh, as the Son of God. Oh, yes. As the Son of David. Oh, yes, as a man, Christ Jesus. He came to this earth, and oh, praise the Lord, that name that is above every name was revealed when he came to this earth. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. Praise the Lord. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Oh, praise the Lord. Do you ever feel forsaken? Do you ever feel alone? Oh, praise the Lord. Our Lord is there. Oh, yes, it might seem at times that he hides himself, but he's there. Oh, he's that one that we can always turn to. We can always go to him and know that he's going to hear us. He's going to intervene. Oh, yes, he's going to answer the cries of his children. I love that 10th verse. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. Oh, praise the Lord. I believe the Lord is teaching us to trust him. Oh, yes, it's so easy to put your confidence in other things, in man. Oh, maybe in a job, maybe in family, and all these other things. Maybe in the government. But oh my, all these things can fail. Oh, all these other things are fleeting. They are here for just a moment. But oh, praise the Lord, there is one who doesn't leave us, who doesn't abandon us, who makes a way even when, there seems like there is no way. Praise the Lord. And we can trust him. We can trust in him with all our hearts. And if we could just learn to do that, to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not unto our own understanding. Oh, yes, our own understanding will get us in trouble at times. Oh, yes, sometimes it's going to seem like, that's the way it's going, and that's the way it should be, and we can trust in philosophies. Oh, yes, in other people's advice. But oh my, we need to learn to trust in the Lord. Oh yes, the one that said, "Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." Praise the Lord. It says, "They that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." Oh, praise the Lord. We just know that that's our God who's with us. Oh, yes, and will be with us. Who's never going to leave us. Who's never going to forsake us. And praise the Lord, we can put those things in His hands. We can know, you know, in spite of, you know, all the unknowns and all the perils, and sometimes it might even seem, you know, just contrary to our thinking. But oh, yes, if that's the Lord directing it, oh, if that's the Lord's way, then we can trust it. Because, yes, our God's not going to leave us astray. He's not going to, you know, abandon us. He's not going to give us the wrong instructions. Praise the Lord. And yes, He's not going to forsake them that seek Him. Praise the Lord. It tells us in this 11th verse, it says, "Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people His doings. Praise the Lord." And you know, things begin to change when we begin to meditate upon the things of God. Oh yes, when we give our hearts over to the Lord, and oh yes, those praises come out of our heart. Oh yes, you know, things begin to change. You could just even feel it at times when, you know, you begin to meditate upon the Lord, when you begin to read the Scripture and let it dwell in you richly, you know, just, you know, come out of your being. And it's not just words, but, you know, it's something deep that, you know, you embrace. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to sing praises to the Lord. Oh, I love these times when, oh yes, we gather and oh yes, those praises come out of our heart and we can rejoice in our Lord and know that, oh yes, He is faithful, He is true, His promises are yea and amen. Praise the Lord. So we can sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Oh yes. Oh, that Zion which is above, which is the mother of us all. That Jerusalem which is above. Yes, praise the Lord. Oh, that dwelling place of our God. Oh, yes. And we could declare among the people His doings. Oh, praise the Lord. I know we're living in a time when people need a lot of reassurances. They need a lot of comfort. They need a lot of help. You know, you can see the fear on so many people's faces, you know, when you just look at them. But sometimes there's just little words that we can say. You know, with the Lord's help, everything will be okay. If we can call upon the Lord, He's going to make it all right. He's going to take charge. He's going to help us. If we seek Him, we can declare among the people His wonderful doings, His wonderful ways, His wonderful praises. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Verse 12 tells us, "When He maketh inquisition for blood, He remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble." And praise the Lord, our wonderful God. He has seen it all. And there is a time in all that bloodshed, the blood of the innocents, all of that, oh yes, will come to God's memory in such a way, yes, that He is going to require it of them. Oh, yes, that have shed that innocent blood. He's going to require it of those people, yes, who also have caused such things as abortion. And, oh, yes, have taken the lives of people that certainly deserve to die. Oh, yes, God has seen it all. Oh, ever since Cain slew Abel, God has seen it all. And oh, yes, he's going to require it of it. There is that day of his judgment that is coming forth. And, you know, he hears the cry of a humble. You know, things don't always add up in this world. You know, it can be confusing. You know, if we try to make sense out of, you know, even people's words and doings, you know, a lot of times it's just a mass of confusion. But praise the Lord, God knows how to help us. And yes, we don't have to dwell on those things. We need to give those things over to the Lord and not let them just, you know, overwhelm us and actually, you know, be something, you know, that besets us. But yet he hears the cry. Oh, yes, the cry that comes from the heart. All the injustices and all the sorrow that is caused because of man's doings. Women's doings, oh yes, the things that God has seen, the unjust things that people have done. He hears that cry that comes forth from the heart. And there is a day when, oh yes, it's going to be put in order. He's going to set it straight. And I would not want to be, oh yes, anyone that has not taken those things, those iniquities to the Lord, and sought the Lord to forgive, because, oh my, otherwise it's going to be on your hands. Oh, if you've shed blood and you have not committed that to the Lord, it's going to be on your hands at the judgment seat. God's not going to forgive that cry, and he hears the cry of those Abel's blood cried up from the ground. Oh, there was a cry that came forth. Oh, yes, he was slain by his brother. God saw it. God witnessed it. And you can't escape that. That blood, you know, unless you totally commit it to the Lord and give your life over to the Lord, it's on your hands. Oh, I do thank God that, oh, yes, he has made a way that, oh, yes, even the vilest. Oh, yes, even, oh, yes, the greatest of sins can be forgiven if we'll just come to the Lord. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus shed his blood for us that we might be forgiven our sins and our trespasses. Oh, yes, there on the cross, he was taking those sins. Oh, yes, those wrongful things that we've all done. Oh, yes, those dreadful things that we even shudder to remember at times. Oh, praise the Lord. God is the forgiver. There is forgiveness with God. And what a wonder that is. But oh, how important it is. Oh, yes, to turn our life over to the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, to bend the knee and humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. Amen. To surrender our lives, all our being unto God. Because otherwise, when we stand before the Lord, there's going to be sin there. Oh, yes, and God will see it. Oh, praise the Lord, he has made a way that we could put on his garment, that garment of his righteousness. We could be clothed with his righteousness and covered with his blood, just as the blood had to be on the doorpost when the death angel passed over the houses in Egypt. Oh, God applies his blood upon our hearts, so that we can be forgiven, so that we can be set free. Oh, yes, so that we can know the joy of our salvation. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, you want to make sure that you have committed your past to the Lord, that you have taken your sins to the Lord. Oh, yes, and let him take those sins and forgive you. Praise the Lord, for yes, that day is coming when, yes, he will make inquisition for blood, when he will remember it all, when it all will come to the light, when that book is opened, and oh yes, everything that has been done will be in that book. It'll be clear and simple. The Lord knows it. And oh, it's been recorded. And oh, yes. Unless we've given it over to the Lord, it's going to be on record. Oh, how we need to give it to God. Amen. Amen. Here in verse 13, Psalms 9, it says, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death." And that truly is what the Lord has done for us. Oh, we were all bound by the chains of sin. Oh, we were all in that place. But praise the Lord. Oh, when we gave our lives to the Lord, He lifted us up out of the gates of death. What a wonder it is. Psalms 40 verse 1 tells us, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." And praise the Lord besides that. "And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." Praise the Lord. Oh, we were all brought out of that horrible pit. Oh, we were all brought into a world of sin. We had all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But praise the Lord, there was one that had mercy upon us, who lifted us up from the gates of death. We were all condemned to sin, to death, eternal damnation. Praise the Lord, God made a way. Praise the Lord, and oh, I thank the Lord. Oh, yes, because He has redeemed us, because we have been delivered, because we have been set free. We have a new song in our mouth, even praise unto our God. Oh yes, that song that wells up within us, a joyful song that the ransomed can sing. Praise the Lord. It tells us here in verse 14, Psalms 9, "that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation." Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we had no song, really, until the Lord breathed unto us eternal life. Oh, yes, when He took our lives and then breathed into us. Oh, yes, as we repented and turned our lives over to God, obeyed the command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, and that promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, that was the breath of God coming into our being, breathing His Spirit within us, that eternal life. Oh, yes, so, oh, yes, we could have a song. Oh, we could have a purpose. We could have a message. We could have hope. Praise the Lord, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, the Lord has given us a wonderful song. Oh, yes, a song of praise unto our God, that many shall see and fear and trust in the Lord. Praise the Lord, that song that comes forth, the song that the ransomed can sing. Oh, it tells us in verse 15, "The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken." Oh, we read in Psalms 40 of that terrible pit. And yes, till the Lord delivers you, oh, that's where you are. In a horrible pit, a miry clay. Oh, yes, and that's where the heathen are. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. It's like a trap. It's like a snare. "In the net which they hid is their own foot taken." Oh, yes, they're taken in their own devices. And, oh, yes, in their own traps. Oh, yeah, all the things that, you know, they've planned and purposed. And, oh, we know bits and pieces about that. Oh, we've heard some of the, you know, the thoughts that the wicked have, you know, their agenda for 2030 and all their plans to take over this world and control it. Oh, yes. But oh, the scripture tells us the heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. Verse 16 tells us, the Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Hagaion, Selah, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Verse 17 tells us, the wicked shall be turned into hell. And all the nations that forget God, oh, we wouldn't want to trade places with them for anything. Oh, yes, there might be time when it looks like, you know, the wicked are prospering. And oh, yes, that maybe they don't have all the trouble and all the agony that all the rest of us have. But oh, we wouldn't want to change places with them for anything. Their destiny is horrible. Oh, yes, if they don't turn their lives over to God, it tells us clearly here in the 17th verse, the wicked shall be turned into hell. And all the nations that forget God. But on the other hand, verse 18 tells us, for the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Oh, praise the Lord. God hears the cries of his people. And oh, yes, you know, he's going to come through. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. God knows how to meet the needs. Sometimes it's like they're long in coming, perhaps. And sometimes maybe, you know, we're just maybe a little stubborn and we just haven't, you know, quite given it all over to the Lord. Or maybe we've got our own concepts and we're expecting it to be one precise way. And maybe God's got another plan. Maybe God's got another way. You know, you don't always know. But the Lord has promised to meet our needs. Oh, yes. The needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Verse 19 tells us, arise, O Lord. Let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. And what a blessing it is when, oh yes, one can see their willful, sinful disobedience. And oh yes, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Oh, that, you know, that fear, that respect that we have for God, that helps us to know that we better turn our lives around. We better commit our lives unto God. We better be serious with the Almighty God. Oh, yes, because there is that day when the heathen will be judged in the sight of God. And oh, how important it is. Oh, yes, to turn our lives over to God while we have but a little time to do so. Oh, we don't know the day of our Lord's return. We see all the signs, and oh, we have all the indications. But Jesus told us in John, the 9th chapter, you know, here was this incident here where, as Jesus was passing by, he saw a man that was blind from his birth. And you know, there was a question. You know, back in that time, they considered these kind of infirmities to all be because of sin. So the disciples asked in verse 2 here in John 9, And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus' answer was in verse 3. Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. And then Jesus said in verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Oh, praise the Lord. Our Lord Jesus came on the scene, bringing light, the light of salvation. Praise the Lord. He came with a work. It was all before him, his mission and everything. He came into this world to bring salvation. And you know, it could have been so easy for him. Oh yes, instead of going to the cross, to have called those legions of angels to come and deliver him. Oh yes, and he had flesh. He felt, you know, the burden. He knew what he was going to have to do there as he prayed in Gethsemane before he went to the cross. And oh yes, his soul was troubled. And yes, you know, he said, What shall I say in John the 12th chapter? Father, save me from this hour. But he said, But for this cause came I unto this hour. He came to this world, God Almighty, who put on flesh to come to this world to die on a cross. Oh yes, to save mankind from his sin. What a wonder it is. What a story it is. What a mission he had. This is such a beautiful story to think that the Almighty One, the Creator of the universe, the One that was and is and always will be, put on flesh and came to this earth as the Son of God, as the Son of Man. Oh yes, because there was something that needed to be accomplished. Oh yes, there was a need. A man had fallen into sin. And he was condemned. And he needed a Savior. Oh, he needed a plan. Oh yes. To be saved. Oh yes, from his horrible predicament. That condemnation, the lake of fire, all those things that was reserved for him. But oh, praise the Lord, God Almighty came to this world to save us from our sins. And oh yes, he bore it for us on that cross. You know, it wasn't just the pain, the excruciating pain of hanging on that cross. But it was the sin that he took upon himself, our sins that he took upon himself there on the cross. Can you imagine that he, who had done no sin, taking the sins of the world upon himself so that we could be freed, so that we could be rescued, so that we could be redeemed, so that we could have eternal life. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, and he said in John 12, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Oh, praise the Lord. That's what he was doing on the cross. He was making a way so that you and I could be drawn to him. Oh, the Spirit would draw us. Oh, yes, so that we could come to him. So we could bow our knee. Oh, yes, so that we could humble ourselves and repent and turn to the living God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, he said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. That mission that he had. The night cometh when no man can work. And what is it? We are seeing all these things coming to pass at this very hour. And again, we don't know the time or the hour exactly of our Lord's return. But oh my, we can see the birth pains right now. We can see what's happening in this world. We've heard, you know, they're mocking and they're scorning. We've heard, you know, the echoes of all the things that they're proposing. and their desire to bring about a one world. Oh yes, all these things that are in the making. Oh yes, it is really something. Yes, Jesus said, the night cometh when no man can work. And you know, I consider with what's happening now, is this a partial indicator? Is this a sample of what's ahead? I don't know. We might not get out of this for sure. You know, at this moment, we don't know. There's a lot of unknowns. But there is one thing that we know. Our God reigneth. And our God does all things well. We can trust our God. Yes, we can put our hope in Him. And He knows how to bring us out of this situation. He knows, oh yes, how to stir our hearts. And how to cause us, oh yes, to seriously consider the great need of the hour. Oh yes, that need, oh yes, to turn to Him with all our hearts. All our souls, all our minds. That time is coming when no man can work. And already we see what's happening in this world. And yes, jobs in some cases are down. It's, you know, whether or not they esteem you to be essential. And yeah, I had a call from, you know, a very good man in Wausau, Wisconsin. And you know, what a predicament. Family of 8 children, and yet, you know, because he has his own business and it's not esteemed essential, he can't work. And his children that had jobs can't work. And, you know, there it is. This is the time that we're living in. And we don't know again what is ahead. But one thing we do know, our God reigns. Oh yes, and there is a time He hath prepared His throne for judgment. And there is that moment, yes, when that judgment will be brought forth. As I have said many times, Jesus Christ came to this world the first time to save us from our sins. He came as a Savior. He came to give His life a ransom for many. But when He comes again, He's coming to judge this world in righteousness. Oh yes, He will redeem His people. But oh yes, there is that throne that has been prepared. And He is going to minister judgment to the people. That judgment that He's going to bring forth is going to be strictly in uprightness. God, who sees it as it is, it's going to be according to His ways, His thoughts, and all how we need, oh yes, to turn all things over to Him. Oh yes, it is an acceptable time. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we still have moments where we can give our hearts over to the living God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that light that came to this world to save us from our sins. For, oh yes, He's going to return. He's going to return as a righteous judge. And what a moment that will be when all stand before Him. Oh, my. Oh yes, what a moment that will be when He comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And oh yes, we all stand before Him. And it's time, it's accounting time. It's time when, oh yes, the books are opened. And oh yes, that need to give an account to the mighty God. I would say that this is a time of preparation. This is a time that we need to seek God like never before and turn our hearts over to God like never before. Tells us in the book of Joel, chapter 2. Oh yes, this great day that is coming forth. Praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 1 here in Joel chapter 2, Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Oh, it describes it here. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of the mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devour the stubble, as the strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march every one on his ways. And they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. Oh, it tells us in verse 10 here, the earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Oh, yes. How many people consider what is happening? Oh, yes, we see these things, and oh, I pray that it is stirring hearts. I pray that out of this will come revival. I pray, oh, yes, that God's people also will be stirred in a way that they've never been stirred before. Oh, yes, it is time to turn to the Lord. It is time to seek His face like we never sought it before. And verse 12 tells us, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? Oh, the righteous God. Oh, you know, it's not his will that any should perish. No, he would have all to come to repentance. Oh, yes, hell was not made for people. It was made for the devil and his angels. But sad to say, hell hath enlarged herself. Oh, yes, because of the great iniquity, because of the hardness of heart, because of the unwillingness to repent and turn to God. But still, we have time here. Oh, yes, we are admonished here. Oh, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments. Turn unto the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. You know, I noticed that in God's Word, His reluctance to judge. You know, yes, as I have declared, that day is coming forth. But oh my, how He holds out in mercy. Oh yes, how, you know, He keeps on pleading. He keeps on hoping, you know, that people will rend their hearts and turn unto the Lord. Yes, because His characteristics are that He is gracious, that He is merciful, that He is slow to anger, and He is of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Oh yes, if hearts will turn to God, oh yes, he gladly forgives and forgives. We see that great wonder in the book of Jonah. You know, Jonah didn't exactly love the fact that he was called to Nineveh. Oh, you know, it appears that he really hated the Ninevites. They were a hard people. They were a mean people. They had done wicked, wicked, wicked things. But yet God had told him to go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the preaching that God would bid him to do. And of course, we know Jonah was reluctant to do that. God had to cause a great fish to swallow him up before he could see that he actually could go to Nineveh and preach to the people. But you know, God worked it out. It had to be done. Because God, who sees the end from the beginning, he knew that these wicked people, oh, that you couldn't imagine repenting and turning to God, would actually render their hearts to the living God. And here it tells us in Jonah, that third chapter, verse 4, chapter 3 here, it says, "And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And you just can imagine, it was a great city. It was a huge city. There were multitudes of people in that city. And oh yes, he went from one end, I believe, to the next, crying out. That was the cry that the Lord gave him. "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." But you know, the amazing thing was, as it tells us in verse 5, "So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not?" Oh, isn't that amazing? Oh, that admission. Oh, yes. Oh, that need to turn from their evil ways. Oh, the violence. They were known for their violence, their cruelty, and all those dreadful, horrible things. But they repented. They turned to God. Oh, yes, they got down, covered themselves with sackcloth. Oh, a sign of great humility. Fasted and prayed and cried out to God. And just hoping that somehow God would forgive them. They believed what Jonah declared. Yes, in 40 days God was going to come down. That city was going to be overthrown. It was going to be destroyed. But praise the Lord, from the king on down, they all got down there, sackcloth and ashes, and cried out to God and repented them of their evil ways, of their violence. Oh, yes, just not knowing even if God would have mercy. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? But praise the Lord, it tells us in verse 10, "And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not." Oh, praise the Lord. That's our God who holds out. Yes, just, you know, turn to me. Oh, you wicked ones. Oh, you who have yet heeded the gospel. Oh, ye who, yes, oh, have lived in your own willful disobedience. Oh, that cry goes out, as it tells us in Joel, that second chapter, verse 13 again. And rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of evil. Oh, we see all of that brought out in that story of Nineveh. The great mercy of God. Oh, seeing a people that really would turn at that point from their evil ways, from their violence, and all, yes, that they have done. Oh, yes. And cry out to the Lord for mercy. Oh, yes, it tells us in verse 14 here in Joel, the second chapter, who knoweth if he will return and repent. And repent here means like a change of mind, reconsider. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Oh, it tells us here in Joel, the second chapter, verse 15. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. In other words, stop those normal activities. Oh, and start assembling yourself together to cry out unto the living God. Oh, call a fast, a solemn assembly. Oh, yes, at this point we can't really meet as a mass, as a large group of people. But oh, yes, we as individuals can cry out to the living God. Oh, yes, we can fast, we can pray. Oh, we can call a prayer meeting. Oh, yes, be it even just our couple of you. But oh, God knows. It says, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, there is great jeopardy in the world today. Oh, yes, there is great trouble in the land. Oh, yes, none of us know what all is in the making. I think almost everybody suspects that this coronavirus is more than meets the eye. We all kind of have these, you know, feelings that it you know, was manufactured and you know, it came out of China. And, you know, just many things to ponder as we see what is happening in the world right now. But there is a need. There is a need. Oh, yes, God has seen all the happenings in this world. He knows the evil. And, oh, He knows the lukewarm conditions. Oh, all the things that are going on in the churches, all the pretenses that are made. Oh, yes, all the rebellion in the hearts and all the things that people are embracing that are so ungodly, so unholy, oh, so wicked. And even in the pulpit, oh, things that are utter abominations to Almighty God are being embraced. Oh, yes, I've said this before, you know, it just seems like with what's going on now, if we would have 10 years, God knows, if we would happen to have 10 years, you know, I think almost every church in this country, unless there be a spirit of repentance, oh, yes, that moves the people. Unless there be a spirit of repentance, I fear that homosexuality will be fully embraced almost in every denomination and in almost every pulpit. You know, we're seeing all kinds of things at this time. Oh yes, the embracement of things that are, as I said, very abominable in the sight of God. Oh yes, what a need there is at this moment. A need, oh yes, to cry out, to assemble, to rend our hearts, and not our garments, but to turn to God with all our hearts, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. Oh yes, to get right with God. It's that time of His judgment as we see these signs, these fulfillments of prophecy coming to pass before our very eyes. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 22 for a little bit here. Ezekiel chapter 22, looking at verse 23 here. I believe we have a description of even our times in this portion of Scripture. Verse 23 tells us, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof. Like a roaring lion ravening the prey, they have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof." Oh, yes. God has heard it, all the conspiracies, oh yes, even of the prophets. Here it's declaring, coming upon the people like a roaring lion, ready there to prey upon the people, to devour them, oh yes, to tear them, to plunder them, devouring souls, oh. And then the things that were precious, the holy things, the things that were of God, oh, they have despised that. They have taken the treasure and the precious things. And isn't that the way it is today? All the Word of God is so turned around. Oh, yes, all those different versions of the Bible that take away from God's Word or that add to it. Oh, so wrong. And all the misinterpretations of God's Word. And oh, yes, all the omissions that people have made. Oh, yes, maybe choosing a few select portions of Scripture and omitting the rest. Not realizing the great treasure of God's Word and the precious things that are written thereof. Oh yes, that description here of her prophets. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Verse 26 tells us, "Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they showed a difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them." All the things that they have ignored. And again, we're seeing a time when things that are very unclean in the eyes of God are being embraced and they're not differentiated. You know, sin is allowed. It's condoned, you know. And it's not preached against very often in the pulpits. Oh, yes. They haven't differentiated between the things that are God's, the things that are the devil's. Oh my, there's a mix and there's confusion. Oh yes, it's that day when, you know, they call evil good and good evil. They put darkness for light and light for darkness. Bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Oh, that horrible time. Woe unto them that do such. Tells us in verse 27 here in Ezekiel 22. "Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain." Oh yes, has there been a bit of that in the land and in the world? Oh, those that are in political office and so often, oh yes, doing things for their own benefit, for their own will's sake, for dishonest gain, willing to shed blood and to destroy souls for their own advantages, taking the people for a prey. Oh, we've seen so much of that in this world. Tells us in verse 28, and her prophets have doped them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. All these false things that the prophets declare, things that the Lord has not put in their hearts to say. They're just saying it of their own being, out of their own mind. It is just like if you would take mortar that's not set properly and you try to build a wall with it. The wall's not going to stand. Oh yes, because that mortar is improper. It's not going to hold those bricks together. That's how the Lord sees those prophets. Oh, it's just vanity. It's just vainness. It's just words. Oh, that deceive the people and cause great confusion. It tells us in verse 29, the people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. Verse 30 tells us, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own ways have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. Oh, the Lord seeking for somebody to stand in the gap, to intercede, to intervene for the souls of men. Oh, yes, for the land. Oh, yes, for the trouble that has come upon the face of the earth. Oh, yes, we are seeing it right now. There ever was a time that we need to pray. There ever was a time that we need to seek the Lord. I declare, it is now. It is now. It is that time. Oh, yes. God is seeking for intercessors. He is seeking for people. Oh, yes. Who are willing to get down on their knees and seek the Lord while He may yet be found. That ability to call upon Him while He is near. Oh yes, let the wicked forsake his way, and evil man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God. Oh yes, for He is willing to forgive. He is willing, oh yes, to show mercy. He is willing, oh yes, to abundantly pardon. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, the ways of man are not the ways of God. Oh, how we know that. But oh yes, we have opportunity right now to seek the Lord while He may yet be found. We have opportunity right now to call upon Him while He is near. And yes, God is looking for people that will intercede, who will call upon Him while there is yet time, before that night cometh when no man can work, as Jesus declared. Oh yes, all these things have come upon the face of the earth, and we're seeing things we thought we would never see. Oh, we've talked about it. We've known that someday it would happen, but yet it's almost been beyond us, the things that we are seeing now. But yet there is mercy with the Lord. And I love how it was declared when God appeared to Solomon after he had dedicated the temple, there in the 7th chapter of 2 Chronicles. Oh, the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, it tells us. In verse 12, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, says, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Oh, isn't that what we need today? Oh, yes. We need that calling upon the living God, that humbling ourselves in the sight of God, that seeking His face like never before. Oh, there needs to be a turn. Oh, yes, from those wicked ways. Oh, just as the Ninevites turned from their wickedness and God had mercy. Oh, yes, so it will be. Yes, we could turn to God. Oh, yes, here it's talking about the people which are called by my name. Oh, yes, the people of the Lord even, that need to humble themselves and pray and seek His face and turn from their wicked ways. Oh, with the promise, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Oh, yes, it says in verse 15, "Now mine eyes shall be opened, and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father," God talking to Solomon, "as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shalt establish, and shalt observe my statutes, and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom, according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel." But verse 19 warns, "But if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name, and I will cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house which is high shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land, unto this house? And the answer being, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore he brought all this evil upon them." Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so glad our God is merciful. Oh, there are conditions with God. He has expectations of His people. Yes, it's those that fear His name and call upon Him that He will hear. And praise the Lord, we have opportunity here tonight. Oh, yes, to call upon Him while He is near, to seek the Lord while He yet may be found. And praise the Lord, God is looking for a people. Oh, yes, that will make up the hedge. Oh, yes, that will stand in the gap before Almighty God for the land, that He should not destroy it. Oh, He's looking. He is calling for a people. Oh, yes, to see who it might be. Oh, if there are people that will bend the knee and cry out to Him. Oh, I'm so thankful that we yet have opportunity We can seek the Lord while He yet may be found. We can cry out to Him, oh yes, even now in these very late hours. Oh yes, because as it tells us in Psalms 9, and they that know Thy name will put their trust in Thee, for Thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek Thee. Oh, praise the Lord, that opportunity to seek the Lord while He may be found. Oh, yes, to stand in the gap, to make up that hedge. Oh, yes, that the Lord might spare us. Oh, that He might have mercy. Oh, that we might cry out, as we were admonished in the book of Joel, to seek God. Oh, yes, to call a fast. Oh, to cry, to travail before Him. Before this all ends, oh, yes, in that day where He may yet be found. Oh, what a privilege. Praise the Lord. What a privilege we have. Oh, I'm so glad that we have opportunity yet here tonight to seek the Lord while He yet may be found. Oh, praise the Lord. Are you seeking the Lord? Oh, are you one of those that will stand in the gap and, oh, yes, make intercession in the name of the Lord? Praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray that You would help us. I pray that You would talk to us. I pray, oh God, that You would move in us. I pray that You would change us, Lord. I pray that You would get us ready, Lord. Oh God, that we might stand before Thee. Oh God, that we might see the salvation of souls. Oh God, that we might work while it is yet day. For that night will surely come when no man can work. I pray that You'd help us in the name of Jesus. I pray that You'd talk to us in the name of Jesus. I pray, oh God, that You would talk to our souls and help us to seek You while You yet may be found. Thank You, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Seek the Lord while He yet may be found. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, praise Your name. We worship You, Lord. We praise Thee, Heavenly Father. We love You, Jesus. Praise Your name, Lord. Thank You, God. Praise You, God. Oh, praise You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, praise our God. Thank You, Lord. Oh, thank You, Lord. Oh, praise You, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, God.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our chorus books to number 86 and sing, I'm going to work and watch and pray, number 86. I'm gonna work and watch and pray. I'm gonna serve Him every day. I'm gonna see His face in glory by and by. I'm gonna listen to His voice. I'm gonna make His will my choice. I'm gonna rise to meet Him in the morning. I'm gonna work and watch and pray. I'm gonna serve Him every day. I'm gonna see His face in glory by and by. I'm gonna listen to His voice. I'm gonna make His will my choice. I'm gonna rise to meet Him in the morning. I'm gonna work and watch and pray. I'm gonna serve Him every day. I'm gonna see His face in glory by and by. I'm gonna listen to His voice. I'm gonna make His will my choice. I'm gonna rise to meet Him in the morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you all. Be safe out there in Jesus' name. Amen.